This morning we're going to be in the book of James and the third chapter, and you might want to turn there in your Bible, and we'll be using some other verses as well, but that will be the main one where we will be. We live in a world that is filled with a sea of opinions, in that these opinions are floating around like they're in water. They're not stable, and everything's moving around all over the place. Recently, I heard on the radio there was a study that said that coffee was bad for you, and you shouldn't drink coffee. And a couple weeks later, I heard that there was a study done that said that coffee was good for you if you drink four cups a day. And there's all kinds of opinions out there, and it's just floating around. And guys, I'm a little too loud for me back here, up here, and thank you. And so there's many voices saying things out there, and some of them are impacting us. In our bulletin today, we have the Alliance Defending Freedom as one of our missionary prayer projects, and I brought along the latest newsletter from them, and there's three things in three different situations, I guess maybe four, in here I'd like to reference in relationship to this. First one is this man right here. He's a French teacher in a school in Virginia, and he had a student that told him that she did not want to be referred to as a girl anymore. She wanted to be referred to as a boy. And that went against his convictions, but as part of his class, he let the students choose a French name for themselves, and she chose a masculine one. And so he went along with that, and it all went along pretty good until one day they were outside and doing an activity, and she was running, and was about ready to hit the wall, and to protect her, he just instinctively cried out, "Don't let her hit the wall." The school board voted unanimously to fire him because he called her a her. Isn't that amazing? Then the second one is in here, and here's this woman down here. New York State has passed a law that is very strongly pro-abortion, and they put it in that law very strongly that churches had to hire pro-abortion people and had to put them forward, and if you didn't, there was heavy sanction from the state. The next one is this Jewish guy. He had been a counselor for 40 years, and he counseled Jews. And he got into trouble because some homosexual people that had some temptation in that area came to him, and he counseled them how to be free from sodomy. And the state came down on him and said, even if they're Jews, he cannot counsel that way. Isn't that something? And then the last one is this young lady from Louisville. That's not real far from here. Louisville, is that the way you say it? Kentucky. And she's a specialist. She's a photographer. And she takes pictures of weddings to magnify the one man and one woman unit that weddings are about. And she has a blog where she exalts that. And Kentucky made, the city of Louisville made a law that said if she doesn't take pictures of same-sex marriages and exalt how wonderful that is, they are going to shut her down. That's the world we're living in. There's all these ideas floating around out there. So I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to James 3, and we'll be in verses 13 to 18. And the subject is the difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And so I'd like to read those verses for us as we begin here. Verse 13 says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness," King James translates it, "meekness, of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And then verse 18, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the idea here is that there are many people that say they have wisdom. They have the right idea how things should be. And so the question is this wisdom, or are these ideas that they have from God or from men? And James is pointing out there's a big difference between the two. And for you young people, this is kind of like, what is your worldview? Okay, James, in James's language, he's differentiating worldviews. So first of all, he gives us the goal in verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So James is saying, all right, there's some among you who claim to be wise. They claim to understand. But who is really wise? You got these conflicting ideas. Who is really wise and who has the understanding? So that's the issue that James is wrestling with here. So how does a person show that they have true wisdom? James says there's three ways. First of all, he said, let him show by his good behavior. Okay, the Greek means lifestyle or manner of life, and the King James translated it conversation. It's how you go about life. And remember that James has been telling us that what is on the inside of us will show up on the outside. And so this is the same idea that is he's setting forth here. Number two, he says his deeds. As seen in the actual things that they say and do they come about? And I think it's very interesting. If they say one thing and it comes out a different way, then it's not true. And Deuteronomy 18:22 says that the person who says something that doesn't come about is acting presumptuously. They're presuming this is the way it should be. Then number three, then the third test here about good wisdom is that it is in the gentleness or the meekness of wisdom. And so he's saying that you demonstrate it by your attitudes. Now, I think that it's interesting that the Greek word for gentleness and meekness here is the opposite of self-seeking. It is an important character quality because Jesus said, My yoke is easy and my burden is light, for I am gentle or meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So, and not only that, gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And not only that, gentleness is one of the Beatitudes. And the Beatitude says, blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. And so coming into God's kingdom, we come with gentleness and meekness, and it's evidenced in our lives. And then it's the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:23, it says gentleness is one of the fruits that we have. So the noun form for gentleness is very interesting. It means power under control. William Barclay says that this gentleness is not a spineless gentleness. It's not a sentimental fondness. It's not a passive quietism. It is strength under control. Now, I would suggest to you that it means that you're responsive to God's control. And to illustrate that, I brought along an impact driver this morning. The thing that's neat about an impact driver is that when you pull the trigger, it responds. supposed to respond. It responds to what you do. And if you put a little bit of pressure on it, it goes a little bit. If you put a lot of pressure on it, it goes faster, okay? But if you have a tool and it isn't responsive, you pull on the trigger, what good is that to you? It's of no good. And that's the idea that James is getting at here. God has given us some ideas in the scripture of how we are to behave and act. And are we going to submit to that? Are we going to be responsive? Or are we going to be all locked up and pull the trigger and nothing happens? Okay? And so that's what James is wanting us to see, that we need to be under God's control. And so wisdom from above is not arrogant. It does not resist what God is wanting to, us to be and do. And so this gentleness or meekness is one way that we can see that we have wisdom from above. The second thing that James tells us is he explains wisdom from below, and that is in verses 14 to 16. James says in verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth." And so, boy, you know, isn't that true? We see so many of these things, they're lying against the truth. In Proverbs 4:23, exhorts us to beware of our heart. He said, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." And so we need to be careful that we don't come off, you know, a know-it-all, and it's my way or the highway and all that. We come back to Scripture, and we base our ideas and what we think on Scripture. But if we have bitter jealousy, and King James says envy, the idea is that we have a harsh, bitter attitude towards others, or we have selfish ambition in our heart, wisdom from below has a self-focus, then we got a problem. So look at verse 14 again. "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth." So this idea is that there's a lot of things that people putting forth out there that are just not true. And it's promoting their ideas in the face of truth. Now, I'm really glad that Joseph is with us today, because I was going to use him as an illustration. He worked at Milwaukee Tools in Milwaukee, and he and I have talked about Milwaukee Tools and how good the red machines are. He kind of convinced me. Let's say I'm convinced that Milwaukee's the best tool. So from now on, this is not a DeWalt, okay? This is a Milwaukee. And I don't want you ever to call it a DeWalt again. This is a Milwaukee red machine. It is a really good tool. Can you see that that's a lie? Just because I want it to, because I say it's a Milwaukee, it still says DeWalt on it, right? And so that is a lie. And that's what James is getting at. That there are some things that are being put forth out there that are just lies. In James 15 and 16, he gives us the characteristics of this earthly wisdom. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Now, to get a hold of what James is talking about, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Save James there some way and turn to Ecclesiastes. And I realize that Ecclesiastes is a book that none of us like to study very well. In fact, some of us find it very hard to understand. Not only that, it's kind of depressing to read. So we just kind of shy away from Ecclesiastes. But he had some very interesting points about wisdom, and I think that's why God has chosen to put Ecclesiastes in our Bible, is that it gives us a real insight into wisdom. In chapter 1, verse 16, he says it this way, "I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased in wisdom more than all that were over Jerusalem before me. and my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. Now, we need to understand that Solomon is writing that, and he's the wisest man that ever lived. So, in essence, he said, you know, I have a lot of insight into a lot of things, but not only am I able to look at them, I understand them. And that is, he had both wisdom and understanding. Now notice verse 17, chapter 1. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realize that this also is striving after the wind. In other words, he said, I got wisdom, but in order to get the bigger picture of wisdom, I decided to study madness and folly. And then notice what he said in verse 18 after he studied that. Because in much wisdom there is much grief, and increased knowledge results in increased pain. So he's talking about there's discord and all this other stuff. He sees all this and it's a grief to him. But he doesn't stop there. Turn over to the second chapter of Ecclesiastes in verse 1. And I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. Now, you know something? That sounds very much like our world today, doesn't it? People are all about getting education. They're all about getting money. They're all about all these pleasures that you can get involved in and do. And this sounds fun. That sounds fun. But when you get it all said and done, it just isn't satisfying. I know a couple that worked for years to get their dream house built. And they both had their ideas of what ought to be in that dream house. And when they got it built, they only lived in it 2 years. And then they sold it because there had been so much conflict getting it to what their dream house ought to be. That's not wisdom from above. That's wisdom from the earth. It just doesn't satisfy. So James is agreeing with Solomon. And then back in James, the third chapter, and in verse 15, it says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. And when he says it's earthly, he's acknowledging the fact that we have an Adamic nature, and we're under the direction of the prince of this world. And as people, we're pretty self-centered. When you look at the Ten Commandments, and then you see over in Galatians, it says that all the commandments are summed up in that word love. What happened is we became so self-centered that we lost the ability to love. And God gave us the Ten Commandments to tell us this is what love would look like. It doesn't do these things. Then it says it's natural. The meaning of the Greek word is that it's earthly. It didn't have input from God. And then three, it's demonic. And I think this is very interesting. Remember back in Genesis, the enemy spoke to Eve, and he said to her, you know, you can eat of any tree of the garden. And then he says, it says in verse 6 of Genesis 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took from his fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So this is the lie that Adam and Eve bought, and this is the lie that we wrestle with, and that is that we have the right to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. You remember how Judges ended up? It ends up saying everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. And so there was tremendous discord. There was tremendous problems went along with that. And so you look around at our world, and you look at all these things that are being put forth, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated. I think, how can we stop this? How can we put an end to it? And I remind myself that it can't really go any other way because there is a mind behind all of it, and it's the enemy. And so I would just suggest and implore, especially our young people this morning, always remember that God's word is truth, and we can trust it no matter what the circumstances are that we are in. Next, James says, look at the results of earthly wisdom. there's disorder and every evil thing. The Greek word for thing is the word pragma. And from that Greek word, we get pragmatic. So James is saying to us that there is absolutely nothing of practical value that comes with wisdom from the earth. So James is saying, who is wise? Let's see it. And if the person is lying against the truth, they have a false wisdom. Number three, wisdom from above, and that's verse 17. And it says, and the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So Solomon ends Ecclesiastes by saying in Ecclesiastes 12:13, in conclusion, when it has all been heard, fear God and keep his commandment. That's wisdom. God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it, because in the day you do it, you will die. They didn't believe God, or they went against what God said. And look at the mess that we've been in for all of history down to now. So this relationship with God is trustworthy, because with him, there's no variation and no shifting shadow. Isn't it wonderful that we can see what time the sun is going to come up? And we know what time it's going to go down. Things are just steady. We can shoot towards the moon because we know things are going to be steady. There's no shifting with God. He set it up and it's steady, and there's no changing in it. And so Proverbs 2:6 says it this way: for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And I like in Romans 11:33, where it says, oh, the depth and riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Now, if you need to be convinced of that, just read the last chapters of Job. When God's asking Job all these questions, boy, those are questions that none of us can answer. But God had the answer. And so this wisdom from above is first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's reasonable, it's full of mercy and good fruit, it's unwavering and without hypocrisy. And in Job 28:28, it says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. So the question is, how much do we really respect God? Are we willing to be responsive to what he is asking us to be and do? In conclusion, the Bible makes it clear that God is the source of wisdom. And in verse 18, I was really surprised at this. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom is equated with righteousness. And so the bottom line is that if we have wisdom from above, we're not focused in on self. And this is reflected in the Psalms. I'd just like to read one for you this morning. In Psalm 15:2, he walks with integrity and works righteousness. Now notice what it says next. Speaks truth in his heart. I think it's so neat that we enter into wisdom by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're saved into wisdom. And once we come into wisdom, the scripture becomes our source of wisdom. And if we lack wisdom, what do? We ask God, and he will help us. Now, I'd like us to apply what James has been saying to this Alliance Defending Freedom newsletter this morning. So let's start with our French teacher again. He was fired for calling a girl her. Now, that's against the truth, right? She wants to be called her. That's against the truth. Now, what is the truth? In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. That's the truth. God only made two kinds, and God decided which ones were going to be, okay? And Jesus said it in Matthew 19:4. He says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? That's the truth. We only got two kinds. And so to say that you can't call a girl her is against the truth. Okay, then we go to the next one. New York State says you have to do, you have to fund abortions. And in fact, it even went so strong to say if somebody in your organization wants an abortion, you got to pay for it. All right? Now, that's a lie against the truth. What is the truth? Genesis and Exodus 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Killing a baby is murder. All right, in Genesis 1:28, God gave the first blessing to people, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth to overflowing. God started a population explosion, and he wasn't worried about a population explosion. He fed over 2 million people for 40 years every day. He can do it. The question is, do we trust him? Do we honor him? Will we follow what he has to say? And then New York City said that this Jewish man could not counsel someone to get out of sodomy. And they had to quit doing that. But that's a lie against the truth. Romans 1:24. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. That's the truth. They're rejecting God and they're just going to do whatever and they're not following God's design. And then this young lady that is taking pictures, the court ordered her to take pictures of same-sex weddings and to talk about it and praise it out on the web. And this is a lie against the truth. For in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, it says, or do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And so we got a choice. And our world is throwing out lots of propaganda to us to say these things are wisdom, these things are true. But they don't agree with God. So the question is, which one are we going to follow? Which one are we going to accept as truth? What God said or what our world is saying? Now, our world may react to us and give us problems. But you know what? If I'm going to have somebody mad at me, I'd rather that it's the world and not God. If God is mad at you, you got big problems, right? Not only down here, but for eternity. And it is so refreshing to read some of these persecuted people that are over in Asia that are being persecuted. Their house was burned down. The husband was thrown into prison, and then he was later taken out and beheaded, and they brought his head to his wife. And all the awful stuff that was going on, and she said, I cannot do anything but honor my Lord. It's a rough world out there, that's for sure. But God has told us, I've not given you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So will you be responsive to me? And that's what James is communicating today. God is looking for a people that will be responsive to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for equipping us for the challenges of our day through your servant James. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we don't know how to refute some of the lies that are being told out there. But Lord, we want you to know that we love you and we're going to stand for you, with you, whatever the cost. In your name, amen.